Morning. It's great to see you guys. So just curious, how many of you out there are excited? Just raise your hand. You're excited to be in church studying Romans chapter 8. Who's excited about that? You're excited out there? Now, speaking of excitement in church, I got this text yesterday, about 10 or so a.m. yesterday. I got this text, and I began reading it, and the text began like this. You should be as excited about church as about the Super Bowl. And I kind of smiled, like, oh, that sounds great. And then the second part I read, which says this. So when your pastor makes a good point, pour Gatorade over his head. So hopefully you did not... Not sure why we're getting cheering on that one. Hopefully you didn't bring any Gatorade with you or onions or tomatoes or anything like that. But we began this series, Romans chapter 8, last week, and really talking about just studying Romans 8 verse by verse, word by word, understanding it. And just that in itself is a very valuable thing. But also, we're looking at this question. Who am I in Christ? Now, just think about this for one second. When you were growing up in those formative years, people were telling you who you are. Your parents were telling you. Your teachers were telling you. The girlfriend that didn't want to go out with you was telling you. You're getting lots of messages. I guess she wouldn't have been your girlfriend if she didn't want to go out with you. But anyway, not important. All these groups gave you messages about who you were, but the question is not what were they saying. The question is, what does God say about who you are? That's important, isn't it? What does God say? When you become a Christian and you're in Christ, who are you after you're in Christ? A very important question. I said last week from week one, I said this. You are free from accusation and you possess eternal life. That comes from that phrase that we are no longer under condemnation. Isn't that awesome? We are free from accusation and possess eternal life. Well, let's jump into this week and look at these verses and really look at what is this section 5 through 11 telling us in general and also telling us about who we are in Christ. So let's jump in. I'm going to read the white. You guys read the yellow. And I'm going to tell you, last night, Saturday night service, they were amazing at reading in unison. So I'm just going to challenge you. You guys are known for being good readers. So let's just see how you do here. So here's verse 5 says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but
to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace.
For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot.
Those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin,
the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead
will also give life.
Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that awesome? What an amazing section of Scripture. So let's just jump into it right away. We come right away to our first question. It's talking about the flesh. And here's the question. What is the flesh? It said so clearly in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. What does that mean? Well, what exactly is the flesh? And how do we understand the flesh? We had a meeting. We meet every Thursday. Our pastors meet and get together. And I ask them a question. As I walked in, how would you define the flesh? Give me a quick, I think I called it lean, mean definition, concise. What exactly is the flesh when the Bible talks about the flesh? And we had a conversation about that. And while we're talking about it, I remember this quote. This is from John Stott. John Stott is a very famous Bible scholar. And John Stott defined the flesh as this. Here's what he said. This is the life, talking about Romans 8, 5. This is the life that is dominated by human nature, whose focus is self. This life may be pride controlled, lust controlled, passion controlled, or even ambition controlled. I'll tell you, in that pastor meeting, we're talking about the flesh, and Pastor Gary said just one sentence, and he totally nailed it. Here's what Pastor Gary said. He said, flesh, it's your self-centered desires. Now just think about that for a second. When Paul says the flesh, he's talking about your desires that center on yourself, what you want, how you feel, how you want to get what you want. So who here could say, just raise your hand, that at some point in your life, you feel like you were at some point somewhat self-focused. Just raise your hand. Who would say that even now you occasionally battle a self-centered desire every now and then? Just raise your hand. Who would say that this self-centered desire has happened to you already today in the few hours that you've been awake in this time? Okay, absolutely. We have a self. And our self has desires and our self wants things. And this is the word the flesh. You can look at the flesh on your skin and it wants things. It has desires. The flesh is your self-centered desires. But look back at the quote for a second. It might be pride control, where really my self wants you to look at me and feel good about me. So I'm willing to lie or cheat or steal or whatever I have to. So that I look good in your eyes. That's pride-controlled flesh. Or maybe it's lust-controlled. It's what I want to feel good in whatever way that I might feel good. Might even be ambition-controlled. That means I'm ambition-controlled. I want to win. I want to earn things. Speaking of winning, by the way, did you guys hear about this person, Super Bowl? It's coming up tonight, and this was a ravenous football fan. So he went out before the season began, and he got this tattoo right on his neck. And the tattoo had the logo Super Bowl 50, and he put Super Bowl 50, Super Bowl champs. He's ambition-driven, and he had his team right there, Super Bowl 50 champs, New England Patriots. Right there, right? Ambition-controlled. I want my team to win. I want to win. I want to grow. It says my flesh that says all those things. So here's just understand this primary question of the flesh. What do I want? You know, it's about me. It's about my selfish desires. What do I want? Maybe you're thinking about your spread tonight for your football food, and you're all, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat this. You know this? This is crazy. I'm not sure if I even believe this. But they said this week the average American on Super Bowl Sunday eats 6,000 calories. Can you imagine that? Flesh control. What do I want? I want this, I want that, I want what I want. Here's the assumption of the flesh. If I get what I want, I'll be happy, satisfied, and successful. That's what the flesh says. All I really have to have is what I want. And when I get what I want, I'll have everything I need. I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. I'll be successful. The flesh, it's crying out for these things. It wants these things. Here's a little quick video about the flesh. Because the flesh wants what it wants and doesn't care who it hurts, even if it hurts its own twin sister. There we go right there. I want it. It's going to make me happy. I'm taking it. I don't care if you cry. Now I'm happy. I'm a happy little girl, twin sister. Oh, yeah, wait, hold on. What? No, my flesh wants it too, but I'm taking it back. Okay, my question in this video is, where's the mom or the dad who's filming this atrocity, right? Step in, parents, step in, right? There's the flesh right there. That's the whole thing. I want what I want. If I get what I want, it's going to make me happy. If you're with me, say amen. Okay, so let's keep going. Here we go. Keep going. Here we go. Verse 5. But those who live according to the Spirit, say Spirit. Set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What does that mean? This is obviously for Christians. If you're not in Christ, you cannot set your mind on the Spirit. You cannot please God if you're not in Christ. But if you're in Christ, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. What does that mean? The Spirit of obviously it means you can fill the blank if you want. It's the Holy Spirit. Or you can think about it's God's kingdom or the things of God. I'm setting my mind on the Holy Spirit and living in Him. I'm setting my mind on God's kingdom and God's things, and I'm focused in that direction. There's a question here. The primary question of the Spirit is this: what does God want? That's a great question. Not what do I want? Not what's going to make me happy? Maybe you walk into church and you're kind of in the flesh. What do I want? I want songs that I like. I want coffee that's hot and fresh. I want a short sermon that makes me laugh. Maybe that's you, right? That you're in the flesh. When you walk in this room, you think, what does God want? Who can I bless in this room? How can I worship in a way that it's really about God and not about me? That's the primary question in the Spirit. What does God want? Here's the assumption. This is really big. So lean into this idea. The primary assumption of living in the Spirit is this. As I seek God and am filled by His Spirit, He will direct me and provide what I need because I don't really know what I need. God knows. God knows what I need. God has a will for my life. He's got purpose for my life, but I may not always understand it. Hey, who here knows clearly God's will for your life? Just raise your hand. Okay, right? We need God to reveal it to us, and we simply focus on the Spirit. What does God want? And it leads us in that direction. Galatians 5 is a great passage talking about the flesh and the Spirit. Let's sum it up in this way. The flesh wants to fulfill its desires, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the flesh desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Who here, raise your hand, you feel that conflict inside of you. Who feels it, right? The flesh wants this, the Spirit wants that, and they're constantly fighting each other. Let's just understand. Heard a story one time about an old Indian chief, a Cherokee chief, the story goes, and he was there, and he was instructing his children, his grandchildren, and one day, he's sitting in front of the teepee. And his grandson walked up to him, and he put his grandson in his lap, and he began to talk to his grandson, and he said this. I'm spitting out of my mouth every which way. Sorry about that, guys. Get my all cleaned up here. Glad my wife's not here. Okay. His grandson came and sat in his lap, and he's explaining life to his grandson. He said, "Grandson, understand, inside of you there are two great wolves, and the wolves inside of you, they fight each other. And one wolf is called pride and anger, and it's really about the darkness inside of you. And the other wolf is about goodness and kindness, and it represents the good things inside of you. And these wolves are fighting." And the grandson was quiet for a long time, and the grandson asked a question. He said, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" And the grandfather said, "The wolf that you feed is the wolf that will win. The wolf that you starve cannot win." And let me just ask this question. Right now, as a Christian, in Christ, if you are, which of these things are you feeding? Are you feeding the flesh? Even though you know it's wrong, even though there's things you know you shouldn't be doing, are you feeding the flesh? "I have a desire, I know I shouldn't, I know it's wrong, but I'm feeding my flesh." Or are you feeding life in the Spirit? Where are you? Think about that. Let me actually direct your thinking to a specific. I'm going to ask you to think about it in this way. Think about families for a moment. Right now, Spring Hills 2016, we're calling it the year of the family. And just think about families for a second as it comes to the flesh and the Spirit. You know, sometimes in a family, you're a Christian family, and moms and dads and kids, they sometimes even want to do the right things, but their flesh gets involved. And kids don't obey their parents. Anybody have that issue at your house, right? Kids don't obey their parents, and parents do things that are in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And I think, look at your own family and ask yourself, is my family operating in the Spirit? Are we generally thinking, what does God want in our relationships? Husbands, are you thinking, hey, how does God want me to treat my wife? Are you more in the flesh in your marriage? I want what I want. Woman, is that more your mindset and where you are? Wives, are you thinking, hey, how does God want me to love my husband, respect my husband? Or are you thinking about how your needs are unmet? Where is it? Are you more in the Spirit or more in the flesh? I had an example in my house this week about being in the flesh and being in the Spirit. I'll tell you what happened. We've got a rule in my house. My kids wake up in the morning, and here's the situation. There's my wife and three daughters. That's four women, two bathrooms. Not a good scenario. So we wake up in the morning, and we're all getting ready at the same time. Plus me, I'm in the mix too. And we're waking up, we're all getting ready to go to school and go to work and all those things. And we're getting ready, and it's pretty hectic in the morning. Who's got a hectic morning at your house, right? It's kind of hectic in the morning. So we have a rule in my house: make your lunch the night before. The night before you go to bed, make your lunch. So you can just walk downstairs, grab your lunch, and hit the door, whatever. That's kind of how we do it. But this week, Wednesday morning, Tuesday morning maybe, I went to my daughter's room, Elizabeth, and I walked in. And I said, "Honey, you got to wake up, get up." And she kind of made this noise of surprise, like, "Ah!" She said, "Dad, I forgot to make my lunch. Would you make my lunch for me?" And I immediately was in the flesh, and I immediately said this: "No! Make your own lunch or go hungry." That's what I said. What a horrible father, right? What a horrible father I was. Right there in the flesh, right in my own home, right in my own living room. "Make your own lunch or go hungry." What a wonderful man I am, right? And I walked out like, "Pop, pop, 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 that'll teach you, la, la, la." You know, walked down the hallway. "I can't believe these kids, rah, rah, rah," right? And right there, four steps later, the Holy Spirit was like, "Really? Really? Is that the grace that I showed you?" Right? No, that's not the grace God showed me. God showed me grace. So I walked all the way downstairs, and I just immediately prayed. I repented. I made my daughter a beautiful, magnificent lunch, not like peanut butter slabbed on. You know, it was a beautiful lunch. I even put carrots in there, you know, for health purposes. Made the whole lunch for her. I walked back up, opened her. I said, "Honey, I made your lunch. Here it is." And I said this: "Love one out." She said, "Oh, Dad, thanks." You know, she felt that little thing of, you know what, she felt my flesh, and then she felt the Spirit working. How is it in your home? Are your kids feeling the flesh in you? Are they feeling the Spirit working within you? Maybe you're like me and you're a quick no. No! Maybe the Spirit needs to be working in your home. Who's with me, by the way, on this? How about love? How does love work? Here's an interesting quote. This is from Thomas Merton. He says this: "Love is not a matter of getting what you want. Quite the contrary. The insistence on always having what you want, on always being satisfied, on always being fulfilled, makes love impossible." Get that? The flesh does not go well with love, especially self-sacrificing love, because the flesh doesn't want to sacrifice. That's the call of the Spirit in our lives. There's a really important question, which this next verse, verse 6, talks about. And I just want to tell you, stop whatever you're thinking about and think about this. Because this verse is going to tell you something which is counter to everything you've ever heard about life. This verse is going to instruct you in a biblical way of thinking that you have to see. And you're not going to believe it. You're not going to really go there, because this verse is going to be right in your face. And it tells us the result. There is a natural result of living in the Spirit and a natural result of living in the flesh. And look at what the verse says. Here it is. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So let's talk about number one first. Here's the thing. To set the mind on the flesh is death. Now, I want you to understand that. That means when you set your mind on what I want, what I feel like doing, what I want, whether it's ambition that creates a workaholic, or whether it's laziness that creates other problems in your life, whatever it might be, when you do what you really want, the result, the Bible says, Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, the result is death. Now, what does that mean? It's this Greek word, death. Number one, it means physical death, and it certainly can lead to that. There is eternal death for those who don't know Christ, but I think Paul's mentioning definition number two. It produces, when you do what you want over and over and over again and serve yourself, it produces thickest darkness, figuratively the darkness of discouragement, depression, and emptiness. When you focus on yourself and just getting what you want, when you're in a situation where you can provide yourself with whatever you want, it often leads to discouragement, depression, and emptiness. That is a result of the flesh. Now, I know you don't believe that. I know you don't believe that. I know somewhere deep in your heart what you believe is this. If I actually got what I wanted, if my kids acted like I wanted to, my wife acted like I wanted her to, or my husband, or my coworkers, or my people, if I got what I wanted, I know you believe this, I would really finally be happy. The Bible says the opposite. When you get exactly what you want in the flesh, not in the Spirit. In the Spirit, that can be true in the Spirit. But in the flesh, when you get what you want, it leads to discouragement, depression, and emptiness. And you know this. I know I was at a point in my life when basically I had a little bit of money, not a lot of money, a little bit of money. I had a little bit of freedom. I had an apartment. I could live on my own. I had a roommate. I could do whatever I want. And focusing on my flesh and doing what I wanted to led me to a place of absolute depression and emptiness. Because I did what I wanted, and that's not how you gain fulfillment in life. Thickest darkness. I mean, ask yourself this question. Is getting what I want the answer? By the way, there's a new field of psychology. You hear about this? A new field of psychology. There's an actual psychologist, and she's developed this field, and the field is called wantology. I'm not making this up. Do a Google search. It's called wantology, and for $200, you can go to a seminar and find out what you really want. Only $200. Give me $20, I'll help you out. You know with that, right? $200, and you can find out what you really want, because when you find out what you really want, you can finally be happy. No, no, no. Getting what you want is not the answer. Here's some very successful people and what they say about this very thing. George Bernard Shaw says this. There are two tragedies in life. One is not getting what you want, and the other is getting it. Right? Do you know that's true? This is from a famous columnist. Irving Kristol says this. Being frustrated is disagreeable, but the real disasters in life begin when you get what you want. Ever seen that? Ever seen that before? This last one's just for humorous purposes, but I really like this quote about getting what you want, so I put it in there too. Here's the last one. Watch out when you're getting everything you want. Fattening hogs are not in luck. Just like that one personally. Just kind of like that idea. This week I was upstairs meeting with some amazing GCA juniors, and I walked downstairs, walked down the front hallway, and our meeting had finished up there, and I walked down, I saw a student sitting in Pastor Coley's office. His name was Clayton Childers, and Clayton's a junior at GCA, and I've known Clayton since he's been in kindergarten, known him a long time, and I really like Clayton. And Clayton was sitting in Pastor Coley's office, going to talk to Pastor Coley, but Pastor Coley was kind of busy, and I said, Clayton, are you waiting? He said, yeah. I said, come talk to me. So Clayton got up and walked to my office, and I said, Clayton, let me read you this scripture. Read in Romans 8, 5 through 11. We're studying it right now. I said, Clayton, junior in high school. I said, Clayton, what do you think about these verses? I'm just kind of testing him out. What do you think, Clayton, about this? And he looked back at me, and he had this look in his eye. It was so piercing, and he said, those verses describe my life. Because what I did was I set my mind on the flesh, and it led to absolute ruin in my life. He told me a story. I said, Clayton, could I just get a video testimony from you? People are going to see it. A lot of people are going to see this testimony. He said, yes, I will give you a video testimony telling people how these verses affected my life. So here's Clayton giving his testimony, talking about how these verses affected his life. Here we go. Oops. Fattening hogs. Okay, sorry. Here we go. No, that's not working. Hold on one second. Isn't it awesome when it works? I think it'll work. Nope, it's me. I'm hitting it too soon. Just think about Jesus, if you would. All to Jesus. I surrender. It's a great video. You're really going to love it. Could you just hit play up there? That'd be great. Oh, see, happened to you too. I'm just going to do this one more time. Fattening hogs. Okay, just leave it there for 1 second. It needs a space bar if you can do it. No, it doesn't. Okay, not sure. Let's just go on. Okay, so anyway, Clayton's going to tell you these verses directly apply to his life in a very direct way, and you'll all be moved, so please be moved by that testimony. Let's go on. Understand this. To set the mind on the Spirit, there's a result of that. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Just think about that for a second. It says to set the mind on the flesh is death, it's discouragement and emptiness. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, what does that mean? The word for life is this word, zoe. There's a Greek word for life called bios. That means your biological life. Setting the mind of the Spirit doesn't give you biological life. It gives you spiritual life. The absolute fullness of life. Real life. Genuine life. Active and vigorous. And it says peace. The word here is eirene, the Greek word. The tranquil state of a soul fearing nothing and content with its earthly lot. What an amazing thing. Here's what it says. It says, if you set your mind on the Spirit, if you're living in the Spirit, you are fearless and fully alive. What a great thing. Now, let me tell you, everything you've heard about these things says the opposite. The world says, when you get what you want, you'll finally be happy. The Bible says, no, that leads to death. And the world says, when you go to church and you're praying, you're going to be so bored. But the Bible says, when you're in the Spirit, you are fearless and fully alive. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Because there's a moment here, a moment of choice, where you've got to choose, do I step out to live in the Spirit, or do I stay living in my flesh? Just picture for a second that my preaching platform up here, picture this platform, is an example of living in the Spirit. Oh, sorry, living in the flesh. And on this platform, I'm up here, I'm in the flesh, and everywhere up here, I'm feeling safe because I'm living for myself, and it's getting tough. But anywhere around here that I might begin to step out, I might be stepping into life in the Spirit, and it seems impossible. How can I begin to live in the Spirit? How can I begin to live in this brand new way? I was thinking about this idea of stepping out, and I remember a story in the Bible, a story about Peter. You know what I'm talking about. Peter goes out in the water with the disciples, and they see off in the distance a figure on the water, and they say, it's a ghost. But then one of them says, no, it's Jesus. And they look out, and they see Jesus walking on the water, and he's out there, and he's walking, and they see him, and Peter says, can I come? And he says, come out to me. And so Peter thinks about it. Am I going to step out of the boat? Am I really going to do it? Come on, Peter. And he steps out, there it is right there, leaving the flesh behind and stepping out to walk in the Spirit. And there it is right there. Now there he is right there. He stepped away from the boat, in my analogy, he stepped away from living in the flesh, and now all of a sudden he's living in the Spirit. And there's some of you in this room, believe me, some in this room, you've done this years ago. You said, you know what, the call is to live in the Spirit, I'm leaving my flesh behind. And you stepped out, it's so tricky and dangerous, and you stepped out and you began living in the Spirit. You began living out here, living by God's will and by prayer and by His Spirit. Now, some of you in this room, you really haven't done that. You've accepted Christ and you really have never stepped away from living for yourself to really live for Him. Some of you have stepped out there and then come back here, but here's what I think. Now, listen carefully. I think most of you in this room, I think most people who attend this church, here's where you are. I think most people at Spring Hills are right, not everyone, but most people are in this position. I think you've got one foot out there on the spiritual living. You come to church, you worship God, you go on a mission trip, and there you are out there in the Spirit, and you've got one foot firmly still in the boat, one foot firmly still back in your flesh. And sometimes you rock forward and you feel good, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick up my second foot. I'm going to really live out there in the Spirit. And when you've got that foot and you're thinking about it, you're just focusing, and here's your song. It goes like this. There's your foot. Here's your song. And you're just right there. God, my eyes are fixed on you, just like Peter. My eyes are fixed on you. I'm exalting you. I'm worshiping you. I'm in prayer. But then something happens and it scares you, or your flesh yells out, come back. And somehow, some reason, you come back in your flesh and your song changes. Here's your song when you're leaning back on your foot. Here it is. Oh, it's about me. You're leaning back right there. Right? Really, it's about me. This is my favorite part of the song right here.
Praise me.
Praise me. That's where you're going. You're straddling that boat, and part of you says, I want to walk out. I want to live in the Spirit. And part of you says, no, I've got to go back and fulfill my flesh. I'm just caught in the middle. And today I want to say to you, step out. Step out of that boat to really begin to live in the Spirit as Paul is calling us to not live in the flesh, which leads to death. But you know what you're thinking as I say this? Where'd he get that clip? You're thinking that. I know you're thinking that. But beyond that, you're thinking this. Many of you in this room are thinking this right now. As you're straddling that boat and you're thinking about stepping out on the water and living in the Spirit, you're thinking, I can't, Pastor Tom. I can't. I can't do it. It's impossible to walk on water. It's impossible to live out there. I've always lived in my flesh. I've tried it. I failed. Just like Peter, I sunk in the water. And you're saying it's impossible and I can't do it. And let me tell you, if you're saying I can't, here's why. Listen, here's why you're saying I can't. Because you don't know who you are in Christ. Because you don't know. Because you don't really know who you are after accepting Christ. And if you knew who you were in Christ, you would say, I can. Because Paul clearly says in the next verse, who are you? Paul instructs us in verse 9. You, however, are not. Now he's going to tell us who we are in Christ. You, however, are not. Here's why you can live in the Spirit. You're not this. You are not, here's what he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Here's what he's saying. You're not in the flesh. The boat is not your home. Living here is not where you live. You're called out upon the water to live in the Spirit. I mentioned Galatians before. Galatians 5 talks about the Spirit and the flesh. And in Galatians 5, Paul says this. Those who have belonged to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Are you with me out there? This is not your home. You're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. That's who you are. That's who God calls you to be. Look at verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. Understand this. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in every Christian. Say amen. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And what does he do in you? Look what it says. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. When does it happen, Pastor Tom? When will he give me life? I think there are two clear times when he brings life to you. Number one, and I don't think this verse is talking about this, but here's number one. When you die. When you die, when you physically cease from this earth, if you are in Christ, life comes to you, to your spirit, and you're taken to heaven. You have eternal life. Now, I don't know if you've been there or not. I've been there for a number of people at the moment that they die. The moment they pass on, you're with them, and they have life, and all of a sudden that body is an empty shell, and their spirit has come out. And in that moment, when your spirit comes out, it's infused by the power of God, and you go to heaven. I was there the first time I was with someone when they passed was my grandmother. Now, my grandmother was in failing health. She was in her late 80s, and her health was failing, and she lived in Columbus most all of her life, but she came out here, lived in Licking County at the end of her life in a nursing home, and I was pretty close by. So when she had a medical emergency, they'd call me, and I would come from the church. I'd go over and see her. My dad would go see her, and one day I got a call that my grandmother was in the hospital at LMH, Licking Memorial. So I rushed over there to be with her and to see her, and I went in, and they said to her, now, Dr. Smith is going to come see you. Now, she'd had a lifelong doctor in Columbus named Dr. Smith, who was about 10 years older than her, who had already passed away, but she kind of forgot about that. And she took my hand. She said, Pastor Tom, I am so glad Dr. Smith is going to come see me. Well, then Dr. Ted Smith, who was a member here at the time, walked in the room, and he's about 40 years younger than my grandmother. And she looked at him, and she said, you're Dr. Smith? He said, yes, I'm Dr. Smith. She said, oh, Dr. Smith, it is so great to see you. And she looked at me and she said, that's not Dr. Smith. Just like that, right? And I looked at him and I said, Grandma, there's more than one Dr. Smith in the world. And she's like, oh, that does make sense. You know, it's kind of her thing. Well, she was okay that day, but about 2 weeks later, her health was failing dramatically. And her health was failing, and they called us over to the nursing home. And My dad was on one side of the bed holding her hand, and I was on this side of the bed, and her sons were on the phone, the cell phone there, and they were listening, and my dad just kept saying, "Just go, Mom, just let go. Just go, Mom, it's okay. Just let go." And her breathing became slower and slower and slower. And for the first time in my life, I witnessed that moment when somebody went from being alive and having life in their body to she breathed her last breath, and it kind of went like, it was like, and that was it. Her life was over. Let me tell you what happened. Her spirit left her body, and it was infused with life. Look what it says. He gives life. And her spirit was taken up to heaven, and she saw Jesus, and she began rejoicing. Amen? And when you die, this life is going to come. But this verse isn't talking about that. Look what it says. He will give life to your mortal body. Jesus brings real life into this body that you live in right now. When does he do it? This verse tells us again and again. Of course, when you accept him, he does it. But again and again, this verse says, just like this, as you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, life is coming in. And when you set your mind on the flesh, death is affecting you. Discouragement. It's life. And it's death to what you set your mind on in this life. Amen? Do you see it? Do you see it right there? Who are you? Who are you? But by the way, how do you set your mind? Prayer. Not just mumbling a prayer here and there or memorizing some prayer. It's what I might call bold prayer, true prayer from your heart, crying out to God. Are you with me out there? It's worship, but not just standing in a service and mumbling some songs. It's wholehearted worship where you're fully worshiping God. It's studying the Word of God. It's getting into His Word, letting it pierce your heart, letting it come down inside of you. Let me tell you, ask yourself, in your life, in your family's life, where you are, have you been setting your mind on the Spirit or setting your mind on the flesh? Where is your mind set? Because he wants to bring life, to bring you fully alive and fearless in this life. Here's the last question, last slide. What's the Spirit do for us? Timothy tells us pretty clearly. Or Paul tells us, Paul tells Timothy, and we're reading it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, a fearless life that God's giving to us, but a power, love, and self-control. Here's the idea. Who am I in Christ? I said last week that you are free from accusation and possess eternal life. Who are you in Christ? Here's the thought, the takeaway from this week. Here's who you are. I am not, this is you talking, I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I should be out there on the water, living in the Spirit. I'm not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me, filling me with power and love and self-control in my life. If you need more power, it's through fixing your mind on the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me. Jesus Christ, my eyes are fixed on you. That's where power comes from. You need more love, focus your mind on Christ. You need more self-control, focus your mind on him. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you, filling you with power and love and self-control. Now, here's how we're going to end this service. Praise team, you can come back on the platform. Those of you who are here in the room, I just want to challenge you with this. Maybe you could just say this with me. Just say it. You can say it quiet. You can say it whisperingly. But I want you to say these words. Here's who you are in Christ. And I want you to say it out loud. So let's begin right there with I am. Say it with me if you would. Just quietly. It's fine. I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me, filling me with power, love, and self-control. Hey, you like saying that? You like how that feels in your mouth as you say it? Let's say it again. Now a little louder, if you will. Here we go. I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me, filling me with power, love, and self-control. Hey, how about one more time? Why don't you stand up if you are so inclined, if you want to step out on the water, why not just stand up just for a second? Stand up. I'm going to say this together, and I want you to say it full voice, projected, as if you believe it with all your heart. Let's just declare it together. It begins like this. I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me, filling me with power, love, and self-control. One more time. I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me, filling me with power, love, and self-control. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for simply studying your word, learning who we are in Christ. Father, I know there are people in this room straddling that boat. One foot in the boat, one foot in the flesh, and one foot in the spirit. And God, I pray they would step out in you. Because we are not in the flesh. We are in the spirit. We are called to set our mind on the things of the spirit. It's a fearless, to be fearless and fully alive. God, we praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Just stay standing. We're going to go into this last song.
Oh, soul, are you weary in trouble? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange. In the light of his glory, in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, your glory, Lord, and your
hey, as you're on the way out today, I just want to say a couple things. Pastor Coley's going to come and close us out just in a second, but I just want to say a couple things from my heart to yours. Number one, this is a quick update for you guys. Last weekend, this is kind of amazing, actually. Every weekend at Spring Hills, we have first-time visitors. People come in for the very first time. If we have 10 or 15, we're really excited about those first-time visitors, that number. But last week, we had, get this, 53 first-time visitors last week in our church. Now, Pastor Coley did an amazing job of reaching out to them. Every one of them got a phone call and an email and a letter from me and all that stuff. And then we heard consistently the same thing back from them, which was this. When I came in the church, people were so friendly and so nice. I felt so welcome there. So listen, keep doing it. If you see somebody you don't know, just say hi, be friendly, be welcoming. You guys are so good at that. You're so natural at that. We really appreciate that. I also want to let you know, we're not sure why this happened. It's a great thing. We're celebrating it. But last weekend, we had the highest non-holiday attendance we've ever had, 1406 last weekend in the four services that were right here. Kind of awesome, right? So I just want to put before you, with those things happening, we've got a couple needs. One is for needs in the nursery. We need continued nursery workers just serving once a month. Listen, those kids are adorable, okay? And they need somebody to watch them and change a diaper and give them love. And it can be anybody, a grandmother or a little sister or a parent age, doesn't matter. Go help out in the nursery. We'd love it. Once a month, we'd love to have your help. But last of all, last May, we kicked off a program called the Inside Out Project to renovate this room. We consistently have trouble with our sound system and sound issues and things that are happening, and this room needs an upgrade. Listen, when this sound system went in, I was in college. And I am old, people. I am old. 1995, 1996, I was in college when this sound system went in.
88.
Okay, 88, right? 88, right? I mean, if I'm old, imagine Pastor Brad, right? So anyway, here's what I'm saying. Oh, just love you, brother. Just love you back there. Right, right. So here's what I'm saying, okay? We have lights in this room that won't even light up. We have issues, and we need help. We need to, if we take out the sound booth and the weight room over here, we're going to gain 125 seats. We need it. We're doing 4 services right now. We need additional seats. Just, I'm going to say, if you're not involved in that project, jump in. Grab a card back there. Fill it out that way, or you can just put it in the byline of your check. Write a check to Inside Out. We just need your help. How about in for Pastor Cole? He's coming right now. Give him a hand. He's going to close this out. Thanks a lot. Hey, sorry about that.
We just so appreciate the message from God's Word. I mean, I know that many last night were blessed by that. It was a blessing for me just to hear, set your mind. And I want to pray for you as you go out this week. You're going out into a world that their mind's not set on things of the Spirit. They're out there looking for answers from things from the world. The world's telling them where to get answers, and we have the true answers. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for you as you go out. Number one, that you personally, in your homes, in your families, in your communities, you will set your mind on things of the Spirit, and you'll walk that way, you'll live that way, and you'll step out of that boat that Tom was talking about. You'll take that step joyfully and gladly following the Lord. But we also want to pray for you that wherever you go, you encounter people, and as they have a need, you will also help them set their mind on things of the Spirit. One of the partners we have down here, thanks Jason for coming, just hang out right there. One of the things we also want to say this morning is, if you're here, and if you're a first-time guest, and you think, man, there's some energy here, I feel good here, I want to learn more, I'll be at the back. Come and see me. We would love to follow up with you. We would love to ask, how can our church serve you? It was exciting. We don't know why 50-some-odd first-time visitors came last week. It was just God doing it, and God is drawing people. Definitely. So we're just trusting the Lord. But so if you also are in need of prayer, maybe you say, I need help setting my mind on the Spirit. We've got a prayer room back here. We've got people who will pray with you. So we just ask you to take advantage of that too. Now, my friend Jason. Stand up, Jason. Jason Sands, been involved with this church. His family's been involved with this church a long time. Our good friend Jason Sands is involved in college ministry up at Bowling Green. He's involved with that, has been involved for several years. Right, Jason? All right. He would love to share with you some things that God is doing up there on that campus. You've been there several years, right? Yeah. And so God is doing an amazing work through students. He's going to be over in this section here, this wing area here. If you know somebody who goes to Bowling Green, if you know something about Bowling Green, maybe you went to Bowling Green, come and see Jason and hear the testimony that he's got about what God is doing there. It's pretty exciting. We love to hear how God's at work wherever he's working. We celebrate that. Let me pray for you. Father, for my brothers and sisters this morning, we are asking you to help us set our minds on things of the Spirit. Lord, we know that those messages come. It's every commercial. It's on the radio. It's in movies. It's in media. Lord, it's everywhere telling us that if we just get what we want, we will be happy. And we know it's a lie, Lord. Thank you for that teaching this morning. And so we're asking you to help us set our minds on things of the Spirit. We want to be that kind of a faith community, where we are pursuing you, and we're pursuing things that you tell us to go after. And we want to go wholeheartedly. And so, Lord, pour out your grace on us. Help us. And as we strive to do that this week, would you bless my brothers and sisters that they would also be able to communicate to someone in their lives on how they can also set their mind on things of the Spirit. Setting our minds on you, turning our eyes to you, Jesus, because you are worthy. You are worthy of all of our praise and devotion. We give you that right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Hey, hop over here and say hi to Jason Sands for us. Thanks.